92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
My name's Gary Parish, speaking from Memphis, Tennessee. Benadol's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can. And I hope to God, if you ever learn anything, one thing from this show, it is the following. Do not ever bet your hands on a basketball game on the opposite side of Trae Young's superstar. Because, as Big Bet Bennett learned last night, there's a decent chance it might not work out for you. Got a young son, beautiful wife, a family to support, and now he's going to have to do it with no hands, because his hands are now my hands. I want him fair and square. I hope he brought a saw or a sword. He gonna look like Jamie Lannister soon enough, long as he pays his debt. We'll talk about game one of the Eastern Conference Finals and how Bennett's gonna get through the rest of his life with no hands momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:20, George Sedano is gonna join me. He covers the NBA for ESPN, so I'll talk NBA with him. Eastern Conference Finals, Western Conference Finals, Ben Simmons situation in Philadelphia. George Sedano going to be here in the next segment right around 4:20. When I finish that, I'm going to take a break, come back, do four notable stories, 4:44, at which point I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Kentucky will become the seventh state to have a name, image, and likeness law on the books a week from today. It's an executive order from the governor. Tell you more about it around 4:44. Wild College World Series game last night between Vanderbilt and Stanford. It ended on a wild pitch. Congrats to the Commodores, but what a tough moment for that Stanford pitcher, Brendan Beck. Talk college baseball a little later on this hour. The Travelers Championship is underway in Connecticut. I'll let you know how Brooks and Bryson are doing just before 5 o'clock. And the Free Brittany movement is full steam ahead after the pop star spoke on her behalf to a judge. We'll spend a few minutes on that during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always, then I will eventually do Dinner to Go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with the NBA playoffs, because we got another incredible night of the NBA playoffs last night. Game one, Eastern Conference Finals, Hawks-Bucks inside Fiserv Forum. Obviously, it was a high-stakes situation for Atlanta, Milwaukee, for Trey, for Giannis. But it was also a high-stakes situation for Big Bet Bennett, because based on a wager made during yesterday's Gary Parish show, his hands were very much on the line last night. If you missed it yesterday, this is how we stumbled into this ridiculous situation. Game one Eastern Conference Finals tonight, Big Bet Bennett.
I'm excited.
How you feel about it?
How we doing? What's the spread?
Hawks-Bucks, game one in Milwaukee. That's at Fiserv Forum. Milwaukee laying 8 points.
Woo!
Big number.
That is a big number.
Both teams coming off emotional game sevens.
Let's call it like it is. Milwaukee's about to whoop these dudes' ass.
Oh, Big Bet Bennett.
This might be a sweep.
Big Bet Bennett?
This might be a sweep.
You are going to just doubt Trae Young to the bitter end.
I have nothing but respect for what Trae has done. It's been a magical run, but that run's coming to an end in this series, GP.
Well, it probably will.
Back to reality,
but
as I like
sweep?
To call it. Yep, we're going to sweep. Bucks in four.
I bet you $500 they don't sleep.
I don't have $500 to bet. I can't. We'll just do a friendly bet.
What's a friendly bet?
Just we'll shake on it.
We're just going to win a handshake?
That's all I got. Okay. We talk off air.
I'll take your handshake then.
Okay.
Bet your hands.
Okay, I'll bet my hands.
Let's bet our hands.
Okay.
Loser has to chop his hands off.
Cool. Alive on the radio.
And I have more at stake because I have to type with my hands.
Oh, that's true.
It's a high stakes bet.
I mean, I got to run this. I think I could do it with one hand, though. I might be all right.
And I think I could probably talk. You know, with technology, you could probably talk your columns in.
Yeah.
But still,
yeah, you probably could, actually.
I like my hands. I don't want to lose them. But I'm willing. I believe so strongly that Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks will not get swept that I'm willing to put my hands, both of my little Donald Trump hands, on the line.
Bucks and four.
You're putting your hands on the line?
I'll put my damn hands on the line. I don't care.
That's
Bucks
the bet.
And four.
Bucks and four. Bennett gets to keep his hands.
Now, I say all that to say I don't really like Bucks minus eight. That's a big number.
It's a big number.
I kind of like ATL plus four.
If the Bucks,
plus eight.
If the Bucks sweep, Bennett gets to keep his hands and I lose my hands. Anything other than that, I'm going to have a handless producer.
Bucks and four.
We'll see. Be back with dinner to go. Final score. Game one last night. Hawks 116. Bucks 113. Trae Young was awesome again. 48 points. 11 assists, 7 rebounds. We're going to talk more about him in a minute. Mm. But right now, it's time to settle a bet. Because Atlanta won game one, which means it is now literally impossible for the Bucks to win this best of seven series in four. Consequently, Big Bet Bennett owes me his hands. It's time to pay up. Mm. Let's get on with it. Please saw your hands off, both of them.
Okay.
And then hand them to me. And if you can't hand them to me because you no longer have hands, I understand. Kick them to me or whatever. Get creative. I don't care how you deliver your hands to me. I just know those hands are now my hands. Pay your debt, please.
First, I don't have a saw. I can't. GP, I can't give you my hands.
Well, you.
I can't.
I want your hands.
I know you do. And
you know all the fun things I would do to your hands.
And, you know, I thought we were having a little fun yesterday.
No, I'm never having fun. I'm serious every time I talk.
Okay, well, I can't give you. I need these hands. These hands are important.
I spent all night last night laying in bed thinking about all the things I could do with your hands. Boy, I don't even want to tell you where my mind went.
You know, it's funny. The second that buzzer hit, I turned my phone off and went to sleep. Like, immediately, I woke up this morning to a million notifications. I was like, oh, God, here we go.
When you put your hands on the line, you said yesterday when I said, I bet you $500 the Hawks don't get swept, you said, I don't have $500. As if your hands are worth less than $500. Think about how backwards that thinking was. What would you rather have right? What situation would you rather be in right now? Having to figure out how to pay me $500 or having no hands for the rest of your life?
Probably figuring out how to pay $500.
Yeah, you could have figured that out.
Now, I think in fairness, I should get a little credit for saying that Bucks minus eight was not the play last night.
You didn't bet your hands on Atlanta plus eight. You bet your hands on Bucks in four.
I can't do it. I'm sorry.
I have a saw at home if you want to bring it tomorrow.
Okay, let me take a look at it first.
I have a trimmer. How would you prefer? It seems only fair. I'll let you pick how we detach your hands from your arms. How would you prefer? I have a saw.
No.
I have a bunch of like little steak knives.
No, I need
some big steak knives.
I need something that can hack it off real fast. I'm not trying to go through like a long process.
I got like hedge trimmers, hedge clippers.
I don't think that'd do it in one snap.
I don't know them things. They can trim some hedges. I don't know why they couldn't get a hand.
I think probably best option would be like a meat cleaver.
You want a chainsaw?
No. I need, again, like it's got to be fast.
Yeah, I think
I'm not doing it. It's not happening.
You owe me your hands.
No.
You bet your hands, you owe your hands.
We got to come up with something else.
I will accept $500.
I can't do that either. We got to figure something else out.
Listen, you owe me your hands.
How about an apology to Trae?
You want to take a moment to apologize to Trae Young?
I do.
Because this started
I know.
Way back when. We had Dan Wolkin on. He's an Atlanta Hawks fan, an Atlanta resident, and either still is or at one time was an Atlanta Hawks season ticket holder. And he came on the show, and usually he's like the perfect guest. I ask him whatever I want to ask him, and he answers it, and then we say goodbye. He almost never tries to flip the script a little bit.
Stir it up.
He never asked me a question.
Yeah, yeah.
And Seppi said, hold on, I got a question for you. I said, okay, this is interesting. This isn't, I've been talking to Dan Wolkin every Friday for years. This is not normally how this goes. He said, I got a question. Why do people in Memphis hate Trae Young? And I said, I don't know. That doesn't, you know, I'm not, I'm not immersed into whatever world this is where Grizzlies fans hate Trae Young as much as some other people. You tell me about it. So he told me about it, and I said, yeah, it don't make sense to me. I like Trae Young. I think he's young and awesome and fun, and, you know, I'd do something about his hair if I were him.
Yeah.
But, like, besides that, I think he's Trae Young. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't like Trae Young. And I hung up with Dan Wolkin, and boy, you couldn't wait to tell me how badly you hate Trae Young. And then I tried to explain to you, like, Trae Young is incredible. 22 years old, already been an all-star. He's on a team that's going to make the playoffs. He's fabulous. Great passer. Incredible shot maker, even if he's an inefficient shot maker sometimes. And you said, and I quote, he never won nothing. He ain't never going to win anything. And this dude has now won 2 playoff series. He's won 3 game ones on the road. And he's now 3 wins away from the NBA Finals. So I wasn't going to ask you to apologize to Trae Young, but since you volunteered,
yeah,
knock yourself out.
Well, I'm sorry, Trae, if you're listening out there. The reason being is because this whole thing changed for me a little bit. It started with the Knicks series, the Trae is balding chance. As a bald man, I had a soft spot there.
You know what that's like?
I know what that's like. And I thought, what if it was me that was in that arena, full Madison Square Garden, like, you know, the basketball mecca, and everyone was chanting, Bennett is balding.
Be tough.
It would really hurt. And so that was kind of the start. Now, I stand by. I've never liked the foul hunting. I don't like it, Trae. I wish you would stop that, but it sounds like the league's going to make you stop it. And in fairness, there haven't been that much foul hunting. There's been a lot of shot making, and you're pretty good at it.
He's been awesome.
He is very good. Trae, I'm sorry.
On behalf of Trae Young, I accept your apology, and for now, I will allow you to keep your hands. Somewhat for selfish reasons. Mm. I need you to be able to use your hands to get through this radio show.
Come on. It'd be really tough.
But at some point, if I ever get to a point where I don't need you anymore—
mm-hmm.
Like, you decide you're going to move on?
Still all going to be on the table?
Well, then I still am technically owed your hands. I'm going to let you keep them as long as they benefit me in some way. But the second you decide there's something other than this in this world that you want to do, at which point I can't benefit from your presence or your use of your own hands anymore, then it'll be time for me to collect your hands.
Yeah.
And then, boy, I can't even tell you all things I'm going to do with your hands.
Great.
Ooh. Incredible performance from Bennett's favorite player last night.
He was awesome. Like, I can't – there's nothing you could say, like, about, like, how that dude plays when he's literally just dominating other teams. I got to throw my hands up. No pun intended.
He took 34 shots, made 17 of them, finished with 48 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds. On one possession, he threw a pass off the backboard in traffic to John Collins for a dunk. Awesome highlight. On another possession, he crossed up Drew Holiday, found himself wide open, shimmied, and then buried a 3. Awesome moment. You see, he was asked about it afterward. They said, what was going on there? He said, like, I had a lot of time.
I think the shimmy was where everything changed for me. That was when I was like, okay, that shimmy was kind of cool.
It was
That shimmy was kind of cool.
Super cool. And then he buried the shot. And now this dude, at the age of 22, is doing things in the NBA playoffs that literally nobody has ever done before. Last night was his 13th straight playoff game with at least 20 points and 7 assists. That's the longest such streak by any player in NBA history. He now has 6 straight 30-point games in these playoffs. That's the most by any player in his first postseason in NBA history. Trae Young is now averaging 30.5 points, 10.5 assists through his first 13 games of his playoffs career. He has eliminated the Knicks in 5 games. He has eliminated the Sixers in 7 games. And now, at the age of 22, he has the Hawks up 1-0 on the Bucks, which means they're now just 3 victories away from the NBA Finals. Awesome. And don't ever forget, Could have been a grizzly.
Oh, come on. You can't throw that in there.
Could have been a grizzly. It is. The Grizzlies are very, 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 very lucky that they got lucky in the subsequent lottery and were able to draft Ja Morant.
Because now, that is true.
Because everybody loves Ja. Boy, think about how this would look.
What if you didn't have Ja?
What if you didn't have Ja Morant? I mean, listen, let's be clear. Let's be clear. And we could all, both these things can be true. This front office has been awesome since taking over. They've made one good move after another, one good pick after another, with few exceptions. That was a mistake. Not taking Trae Young was a mistake. That you got lucky a year later and was able to draft Ja Morant makes it less of a mistake. Because you got Ja Morant, everybody's happy with Ja Morant. But, boy, they missed on Trae Young. It's undeniable. He was on the board, and they took Jaren Jackson Jr. And Jaren Jackson Jr. might go on to still be awesome. But Trae Young is already doing things that Jaren Jackson Jr. might not ever be. Are we sure Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to be an all-star someday? Trey's already been one. Are we sure Jaren Jackson Jr. is ever going to lead the team to the Western Conference Finals? Trae Young's already done that. So, could have been a Grizzly. I think it's going to work out okay. But boy, if they didn't get lucky in that next lottery and get Ja Morant, that would be up there with the, you passed on Steph Curry to take Hashim Thabeet? You passed on James Harden to take Hashim Thabeet? This could be you passed on Trae Young to take Jaren Jackson Jr.? Granted, it wouldn't be that drastic, but it was still a mistake. And I heard Jeff talking about all this morning. He says it's been a rough few days for Big Bet Bennett.
It has been rough.
You lost your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Trae Young is now undeniably awesome. Even you have to admit that. And you lost the Titans off 92.9 FM ESPN.
God dang.
By the way, let me be very clear about one thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you are tweeting me about the Titans no longer being on 92.9 FM ESPN, stop. For a handful of reasons. One, I had nothing to do with it. Honestly, I didn't even know it was happening until I had to ask Bennett yesterday, why are people tweeting me about this? What is going on? I'm so far removed from that kind of stuff. A, because it's not my job, and B, because I do not care. And that's the most important point. I don't care. I don't care where the Titans games are. It doesn't matter to me. I've never listened to a Titans game on the radio. I'll never listen to a Cowboys game on the radio. It doesn't matter to me at all. So I'm not trying to be mean. Like, if you're fired up about it, be fired up about it. Just know that there are people you can tweet about it. I ain't the guy. I could not care less. George Sandano's up next.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like
Kentucky will become the seventh state to have a name, image, and likeness law on the books July 1st, next Thursday, thanks to an executive order by the governor that was signed today. We'll get into that. I'll update you on name, image, and likeness rights and rules as this evolving story continues to unfold. We're going to do it in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now he covers the NBA for ESPN. It's George Sedano. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
George, thanks for being here. I appreciate your time. And we'll talk basketball in a moment. But first, I did want to offer my condolences, I guess. I know you grew up in Miami, and it is an awful day there today. Just incredible news to wake up to with the condominium collapsing on the beach, and I guess the latest news is that 99 people are unaccounted for. Just a nightmare situation for your hometown.
Yeah, awful. I literally just left there this morning, Gary. I left at 8 a.m. this morning back to L.A., and I saw the news as I arrived at the airport on my phone, and yeah, I couldn't believe what transpired there. A 40-year-old building. It's not like it's some sort of building that's, you know, hundreds of years old or anything like that. And could you imagine being in that building in the middle of the night and you're sleeping and that happens? Like, I mean, God, you know, God bless all those souls, the ones that, you know, are certainly are unaccounted for, and certainly the ones that survived too.
Yeah, it's just an absolute nightmare. You know, I've had it sort of on in the background all day as I was working and prepping for the show, and it's just one awful update after another. So, like anybody else, hoping for the best, but obviously things don't sound great right now. We'll move on. Last night, another incredible playoff game, Hawks-Bucks. Atlanta goes on the road, wins game one, 116-113, 48 points from Trae Young. He's throwing passes off the backboard for dunks. He's shimmying before he knocks down open three-pointers. What do you make of what Trae Young has become while eliminating the Knicks, Sixers, and taking a one-game lead over the Bucks?
He's the new incarnation of Steve Nash in a lot of ways, I think. You know, everyone wants to compare him to Steph, but he's a better passer than Steph. Like, he's a better creator in the sense of he makes the guys around him more live. Not that Steph can't do that, but he doesn't do it like that. I mean, I don't think he's Nash necessarily passing the ball, but, I mean, he's as close as we've seen because he's not as good a shooter as Steph. And so, I get it that he shoots it from 30 feet out or 35 feet out like Dame and Steph, but he doesn't have their game. Like, Nash is really the comp for me. He's been incredible. I mean, there's no way around it. And Travis Schlenk, the GM, deserves a ton of credit for building this team. And he deserves a ton of credit for making the move when he did. I felt bad for Lloyd Pierce, but Nate McMillan has been incredible. Nate McMillan, the only thing I would say, and maybe this isn't a Travis Schlenk GM call necessarily, it could be an ownership decision, but the fact that he's still an interim coach is absurd to me. Like, how does that guy not have a contract in front of him already at this point and got it locked up? But, yeah, they've been fantastic. Trae is live, and everybody on that team is basically live from three-point land outside of Capella. They're just incredible. They can be down double digits and be back, you know, tied game within, 90 seconds. Like, we've literally seen that happen in these last couple of series.
He's only 22 years old. Like, the conventional wisdom in the NBA is that, you know, this thing has to be a process. You know, LeBron can be the best player on his team at 22, but it's going to take a minute. KD can be the best player on his team at 22, but it's going to take a minute. How has Atlanta been able to turn this into, listen, they're still underdogs in the series, and I probably, like, you know, that made me bet my 401k. I probably still think the Bucks will get out of this one way or another. But, you know, there's nothing crazy about thinking the Atlanta Hawks are going to be in the NBA Finals. How is Trae Young doing this at 22 as the best player on his team when other all-time greats couldn't do it at 22 as the best player on their team?
Well, I think with LeBron, right? Like, remember, he had that breakthrough at 22. Yeah. I believe it was 22 against the Pistons in 07, where he had that crazy 48-point game, similar to what we just saw from Trae. And he scored, I think it was 25 straight points. So we saw it from LeBron. He got to the finals, and then they went up against a Spurs juggernaut, and that was the end of that, you know? So we've seen LeBron do it, but then he struggled, to your point, after the fact. And a lot of these guys, with KD, with Russ and those guys, you know, they got to the finals at a very young age, but couldn't win and then couldn't break through beyond that. Look, I just think that this particular Eastern Conference has kind of shaken out in a way that's aligned. The stars have aligned a little bit for Atlanta and even for Milwaukee, to be frank with you. If Kevin Durant's shoe size is, you know, one size smaller, it's Brooklyn in this series, you know? So sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, and that's not a knock against either of these two teams, Milwaukee or Atlanta, because they're unbelievably talented, and I think the Trae story is fantastic. It's exactly what that particular town needs. It's what this league needs, right? The young stars to really grab hold of this league, and we're seeing that. You know, I've mentioned to you multiple times the guys you guys have is fantastic, and he's going to be in that mix too. But I just think the Eastern Conference, the way it kind of shook out, has also kind of played in their favor.
Talking to George Sedano from ESPN. He is on Twitter, at Sedano. Tonight, we get Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals. Suns-Clippers in L.A., Staples Center. And Phoenix is obviously up 2-0. Chris Paul is back tonight. Do we know how seriously injured Kawhi Leonard is right now?
He's pretty seriously injured, to my knowledge. Now, you know, I don't know the extent because no one's really telling the extent, but if he hasn't played to this point, I get the sense that there's a pretty good chance we won't see him. this postseason. That would be my best guess. You're talking about a guy who has, you know, back from San Antonio. I remember Ramona Shelburne reported this when he had his issues with them, a degenerative issue in his quad. And now you're talking about knee issues. I mean, look, all this stuff is interconnected, man. The kinetic chain works a certain way. And if you injure yourself again, and you have a lower body extremity injury again, you got to be careful. And I'm not saying that he's died, you know, I'm not saying he's capable of playing and not playing. I'm just saying that you have to be careful to worsen that injury. And my guess is, in the initial injury, when you saw him, he kept playing, but that's probably just adrenaline. And then the swelling probably took place, and that was the end of it. I've been around him a little bit. I don't know him at all, but, I mean, I don't think anyone really knows him at all, to be honest with you. But I've seen him, you know, pre-pandemic. I remember last year, he would take 90 minutes to talk to the media because he would have a post-workout that took over an hour to make sure they could strengthen that leg. Like, this is something he's going to deal with for a long time. So any setback to that leg is a big, big deal. And I know that the swelling on this particular injury took days to kind of temper itself for them to be able to get an MRI, which is, you know, I'm not a doctor, but that just doesn't sound like a good sign.
Talking to George Sedano from ESPN. And so the Suns are up 2-0. They get their point guard back. Kawhi Leonard, as you noted, probably isn't going to return to this series. Paul George obviously had a chance to, if not put the game away, put it to a place where an alley-oop in the final second wouldn't hurt you at all. He misses two free throws. He's an 84% free throw shooter. How badly does he, even without Kawhi, need to show up tonight? Because he had done a pretty good job of stripping himself of that bad reputation. And boy, two nights ago, he was thrown right back into it.
I know. I felt terrible for him. Because to your point, everything you alluded to, we just pointed to him being the hero. And he had been the hero for like four straight games. and it just didn't work out. I think that they've been a resilient bunch, clearly, being down 0-2 twice and coming back to win some series. I think a lot of that is on him, and a lot of that is on Ty Lue, and they still have those two guys there. Marcus Morris's injury from the other night, a couple nights ago, the first game, I think that still looms larger than most people think. He's a real important piece to what they do. And I don't know how healthy he is, although, look, man, there's a lot of guys not healthy, I guess, at this stage anyway. But when you're already missing Kawhi, I think that anything you miss or anyone who's even remotely hurt beyond that then becomes a bigger challenge. But Ty has been fantastic in making adjustments, and he has kind of rope-a-doped a couple of teams already. So I'm curious to see what tonight looks like. I'm not a betting man per se. Like you mentioned earlier, I'm not putting the 401k on it, right. But I feel like tonight's a Clipper win.
Wrap it up here with George Sedano from ESPN. Last thing before I let you go, Woj, your colleague, reported earlier today that the Sixers are moving forward right now with the idea that they're going to have a core of Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. I don't doubt Woj's reporting. Nobody should. But do you believe Ben Simmons is actually going to be on the opening night roster? And if so, is that the right move for Philadelphia? Because that thing looks pretty damaged right now.
I still believe it. I still believe it because I believe in Woj and his reporting, and I believe that, you know, Rich Paul went to them and said, hey, look, let's do what's in the best interest of everybody. Like, because that's just who Rich is. Rich is a fixer, right? And he wants his clients to be happy, and he wants the teams to be happy with his clients, right? Like, I just think that that was probably the best way to handle it, and then that opens up a dialogue. It's crazy, Gary. I've been around this kid in the summer, most recently this summer. I did a feature on Anthony Edwards, who was the number one overall pick in this past draft out of Georgia, and his workout partner for the 3 days I was there was Ben Simmons. And Ben was shooting shots from all over the court, playing, you know, pickup with the guys, you know, three-on-three, one-on-one, you know, it was, but, you know, running with five-on-five. And, you know, he looked fine. Like, you know, they're not always going in. And is it the prettiest shot? No, I don't know. But you know what? I covered a guy very early in my career in Tim Hardaway whose shot looked like a knuckleball. Right. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't have to be pretty as long as it goes in. And I don't know what happened there. Like, it's not to the levels of LeBron in 2011 where I still don't know what happened there against the Mavericks. But it's in that, like, stratosphere is what I would say, because he didn't look like himself at all this postseason, but particularly that last series.
It is George Sedano from ESPN. You can watch him on The Jump on various ESPN programs. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, @Sedano. Hey, man, Miami to L.A. flight ain't no joke. I know you must be exhausted. I appreciate you being here for me.
You got it, brother. Anytime. Take care.
All right. I'll see you. That's George Sedano from ESPN. Yeah, that's the latest reporting from Woj earlier today, that they're saying, hey, we're going to work. We're going to put a plan in place to get Ben Simmons' shooting woes fixed, or at least improved. And Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are going to be the core of our team next season.
I think that's the right thing to say.
That's what I think it is.
Yeah.
I should be a little more clear on this. When I say I don't doubt Woj's reporting, what I mean is I don't doubt he was told that.
Of course.
I still wonder if it's sincere.
Yeah, but I mean, because what else are you going to say? Are you going to say, hey, we're going to look at all of our options, with Ben? Like, you don't want to do that.
Whether you're Daryl Morey or anybody else running an NBA franchise or any franchise, what you say is that we are happy with this person and we believe in this person up until the point you don't have them anymore. And then let the action speak for itself. But the last thing you want to do is have it on the record or sourced. A source told ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski that the Sixers are looking to move Ben Simmons. You don't need that right now.
And other teams will take that and run.
They'll use it against you.
Yeah, of course they will.
And beyond that, it just kills Ben. Like, Ben Simmons you've had a rough week. Ben Simmons probably had a rougher week.
Yes.
And so you don't – I mean, he's got hands, but he don't even use them.
That's a good point.
You know?
Really? Yeah, I mean, it's true.
Maybe I should take your hands, settle that bet, and then you could take Ben Simmons' hands. He doesn't use them.
And I think everything would be fine.
Everything would be fine. Everybody would be happy.
Yeah.
He'd have a legitimate excuse not to shoot.
Yeah, of course.
Like, hey, I don't have hands. What do you want me to do? And then you would have hands, and they'd be big hands.
He's still got to dribble, though.
Dribble with
He's not bad at dribbling.
I feel like you could dribble with nubs.
Maybe.
I think you could. I bet you could find somebody on YouTube dribbling without hands.
Okay.
Dude, you can find anything on YouTube.
That's true, actually.
The other day, I was watching guys that got one arm hitting golf balls better than I can hit them.
Well,
guys with no legs hitting golf balls better than I can hit them. It's frustrating.
Why are you watching those videos?
I was looking for inspiration.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I was seeking inspiration.
That's good.
And it really all I found was frustration, because I'm like,
why are they better than me?
Why, that dude has one arm and he's so much better than I am. He's got one arm and he hasn't sliced one yet.
What are you going to do?
I don't know what I'm going to do, Bennett.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. I don't have any idea. So that's the deal. Like, I'm certain Woj has got sources inside the Philadelphia organization who have told him, listen, obviously what you just watched is not good, but we're not going to sell a 24-year-old all-star who just went through something. We're not quite sure what it is, but we're going to figure it out. We're going to build his confidence up. We are going to make it a point to work with him the entire offseason. Like, that might be another thing. Typically, NBA players, they go home in the offseason. They do what they want to do. Philadelphia might sit down with him and say, man, we got to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're going to need you to stay here, or we're going to need somebody to go with you, or, like, we've got to get this fixed this summer. So I don't doubt that's on the table, and I don't doubt Woj was told that. I don't for a second believe that it guarantees Ben Simmons is going to be on the opening night roster. They will say that he's going to be, and they will say that he remains in the plans, unless they get a deal that makes sense for them. And they say, you know what? This thing, we gave it our best shot. Something's not right. It's not working. This deal on the table, maybe Ben goes and is better off for it, and then maybe we're better off for it too. Trust me, you pick up the phone and call Philadelphia, they'll answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I get these random calls from. Do you get these
all day? I get freaking random calls all day.
I get random calls from people wanting to buy my house.
Yes, buy my house, car mortgage, wrong numbers. It's all day. It's all freaking day.
It's like this guy. I don't even know who he is. I'm sure he's a nice guy. Like, you know, right? Like, I don't know who it is. But like,
I don't know if they're nice.
Found my number somewhere, and I mean, he's just doing his job. Like, he's working hard, I guess.
I guess.
But he's like, hey, found your number. I was like, where'd you find my number?
Mm-hmm.
He found my number, and he's like, hey, do you just wanted to, you know, interested in buying your house? Give me a call back. I'm like, no, why am I going to call you back? I don't want to sell my house.
No.
You know, if I wanted to sell my house, I'll talk to Josh Heisel.
Did he offer cash?
Oh, yeah.
They always offer cash.
Yeah. Well, how much cash you got?
Yeah.
You know?
No kidding.
One time, long time ago, a decade ago or so, we put our house on the market. We were gonna consider selling it. We were trying to sell it. And then we decided we didn't want to sell it, right? Long story, not so long, after a few months. And the real estate agent, this is before I even knew Josh Heisel. Josh Heisel would never do this. The real estate agent said, well, you know, you signed a contract for a year. And so, you know, the contract, you know, you got to keep the house on the market for a year. And I'm like, well, yeah, I don't want to. So I don't know what I signed, but I don't want to keep my house on the market. So, like, let's just take it off the market. And he was like, well, you know, you signed a contract for a year. It might have been 6 months, whatever it was. There was something like I had signed something that said I had to keep it on the market for X amount of months.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, I don't want that. And the guy was like, well, you know, you signed a contract. You know, he's doing that thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, fair enough. If I signed a contract, then I signed a contract. You know, I'll be smarter next time, hopefully. But I'm in charge of pricing my home, right? He said, well, sure. I said, cool, put it on the market for $10 million. he was like, well, you know, you can't sell your home. I thought you said I was in charge. You said I got to keep it on the market. That's fine. I want you to list it for $10 million. And he was like, well, I can't list the house for $10 million. Oh, really? You can't? I thought I was in charge of that. Well, then we'll just take it off the market.
There we go.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do 20 minutes ago, buddy. My point being this, I'm not going to call that guy back. Not because I'm mad at him. He's just doing his job. But because I'm genuinely not interested in selling my house.
Me either.
But the Sixers, and this was the point.
Yeah, yeah.
And if it sounded like I got lost for a second.
I was about to say, woo, where are we going?
If it sounded like I got lost for a second, it's because I did. The point is, you call the Sixers and ask them if they want to sell Ben Simmons, they'll call you back. They might not sell you Ben Simmons, so to speak, but they'll call you back.
There we go.
Regardless of what you might have read today. Kentucky's going to become the 7th state on July 1st, next Thursday, to have a name, image, and likeness law on the books. It's going to be a executive order from the governor. I bet you John Calipari had something to do with it. I'll tell you the details next.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The God Killer, this Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the car dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the car dealer. Last temptation of Mike, but I'm a God digger. Tell me as a bob that the God don't need a job. And if I did, the oligarchs would be missing, murdered, and wrong. This is Bonaparte, and he paying with Tucson. And they went on a world conquest, tearing your Bonaparte. Michael remained murderous, but still virtuous. Wait to kill the petty, you found out the church services. Not a holy man, but a moral in my perversion. So I support the sex workers unionizing their services.
Saying that you're a rock, hey. I'm guessing I'ma be okay. You say that you'll feel me now. I feel like I'ma live somehow.
Jeff Calkins is award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show. He's going to join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now, I got 4 stories I'd like to discuss, presented by Belly Acres Restaurant. 2 locations in Memphis. Get half-off gift certificates now to Belly Acres at getmyperks.com/Memphis.
4 notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear announced today that he has signed an executive order that would allow student-athletes in his state to receive, quote, fair compensation for the use of their name, image, and likeness starting July 1st, which is next Thursday. This is the seventh state in the United States of America that is going to have a name, image, and likeness law on the books next Thursday, and is the first to do so by an executive order. And I would bet Bennett's hands that John Calipari picked up the phone at some point in the past month and said, you've got to do something about this.
I bet I know how that conversation went. What's the guy's name again?
And Governor Beshear.
Governor, this is Coach Cal. They're going to kill us. They're going to kill us. If we don't do this, they're going to kill us.
It's, I mean, you know, there's six other states, and, like, we're talking about states in part in the SEC's geographic footprint.
Yes.
Florida, Georgia, Mississippi. And so I'm sure John, you know, he wants to take advantage of every advantage he can take advantage of. But more to the point, doesn't want to be disadvantaged. And if you are recruiting a McDonald's All-American and that prospect is down to the University of Florida or Kentucky, and the University of Florida, Michael White can tell that prospect, hey, on the low, you realize if you come here, there's a bank owned by a booster who is going to want to put you on billboards for $150,000. Kentucky will not be allowed to put you on a billboard for $150,000 based on the way the laws are written right now. But we'll be able to do it in Florida. So, hey, you want to go to Kentucky and play for a scholarship and cost of attendance stipend? Or do you want to come here, play in the same league, same amount of times on national television, all the perks they got, we got them too, mm-hmm. but you can also make real money while doing it. That becomes an incredible recruiting advantage for Florida and an incredible disadvantage for Kentucky and every other state that might not have name, image, and likeness laws on the books. So I'm certain, whether it's Chris Mack at Louisville, John Calipari at Kentucky, or any other basketball or football coach, the ones that can get the governor on the phone, and that's probably like Chris Mack and John Calipari, mm-hmm. got him on the phone and said, we got to do something. Like, I can't work. This is hard enough. I can't work at a disadvantage. So he has issued an executive order that on the same day that the six other states are going to have name, image, and likeness laws on the books, Kentucky will also. So that's seven of our 50. And where this is headed, if you haven't kept up to date on it, it appears that the NCAA, they were really pushing for a federal law to be in place by July 1st. Just not going to happen. Like everything else, almost everything else that you know, is brought to Congress, it's like they're fighting over it now, you know, and it's become a partisan issue. So they're not going to get a federal law passed by July 1st. So what the NCAA appears willing and on the verge of doing, willing to do and on the verge of doing, is to say, if you are a school in one of your, in one of the seven states that's going to have name, image, and likeness laws on the books next week, go. You're free to operate within the constraints of your state laws. We got nothing to do with it. You can do whatever you want as long as it's legal in the state that you're in. And for the other 43 states, those schools, write your own name, image, and likeness rules. We don't care. We're out of it. Because they have to have legal protection. They just got blasted by the Supreme Court for having limits on what universities could do for student athletes. So the last thing the NCAA is going to do right now is put in a rule that limits anybody from doing anything. So you know what they're doing? They're passing it off to the universities. Mm-hmm. They're saying, hey, we out this game. So you can put whatever rule on the books you want to, for your particular school, and if you constrain student-athletes in any way and they decide to sue you someday, they're suing you. They ain't suing us. We ain't got nothing to do with this. And that's the way we're going to operate as Division I athletics until or unless we get a federal law on the books. So we've talked about this for so long that it's always seemed like a faraway thing, but it's here. It's next week. Come next week, you're going to have student athletes, presumably in every state in this country, and at most high-profile schools, including, I would assume, the University of Memphis, you're going to have student athletes signing deals. Like, you're going to start seeing, I don't know, DeAndre Williams in a car commercial.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to start seeing, DJ Jeffries at Mississippi State on a billboard in Starkville for could be anything. Like, that's happening, and it's happening really soon. And Kentucky's the latest state to jump in and say, this is what we're going to do because we're not going to be at a disadvantage against any state in this country, given how much we care about college athletics, specifically in that state, the sport of men's basketball.
Story number two.
Wild College World Series game last night between Vanderbilt and Stanford. You see any of this?
Yeah.
Woo! Brendan Beck. He's the pitcher for Stanford.
Dude, that sucked. I felt bad for that guy.
Felt awful for him. I always root against stuff like that because, and we've talked about this before, when a kicker misses a kick in overtime, or I don't like the idea of people having to live with that forever.
Yeah, especially because, like, think about how many pitches that dude's thrown in his life. How many you think he's thrown like that? Like, come on.
It looked like he was throwing a breaking ball and it just got away from him.
Yeah.
Which happens sometimes, but not often. Not often. And not in that situation. Like, it's one thing to just get crossed up with your catcher. He wasn't crossed up. He just threw the ball over his head. He just got away from him. And for people who didn't see it, Stanford was up a run, bottom of the ninth. And Vanderbilt, there was an error that advanced a runner when a shortstop probably should have just held onto the ball instead of make a throw. I don't know that that had any real impact because it just moved a runner from second to third, and that runner was going to score on the next base hit anyway. So I don't know that it had a big impact, but it was part of a series of things that led to this moment. And then I think Vandy's got it something like first and third. Now it's a tie game, and wild pitch, just lose it 6-5. Brendan Beck walks off the mound. He just threw the ball to the backstop to end his season. And I don't follow college baseball enough to know who Brendan Beck is. So I immediately start, the good news is that he is the Pac-12 pitcher of the year. He's probably going to pitch in the major leagues.
Yeah.
So this will not be the end for him. But, man, I mean,